Hello again, ladies and gents. This is the LWIM podcast, Absolute Truth, Absolutely. And this is your host, Gio. I'm the youth leader of LWIM in Miami, Florida, which stands for Living Word Youth Ministries in Miami, Florida. And we are dedicated here to give you simply absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty. We strive to give you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And this is what God is helping us to do. So there are people that say, so help me God. Well, you know what? He is helping us to do that because as we have read before in John 8:32, Jesus tells us, if we know the truth, that the very same will set us free. And then at the same time, Jesus tells us in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can go to the Father except through him. And therefore, Jesus is the truth. He is the personification of truth. He is truth. All right? So that's pretty much set in stone, and this is what we dedicate ourselves to look for in this weekly podcast. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for downloading and listening to these podcasts. We also hope that you would share, spread the word around, letting others know about the truth, because this is, believe it or not, a great tool to evangelize. Let others know about us. Let others know about this podcast so that they too may also be in freedom. You can find this podcast through our website, LWIM.org, LWIM.org, and also you can find us on the iTunes store via Absolute Truth, Absolutely, Absolute Truth, Absolutely. Now, this morning I got into the office and I found a report that really shook me to my bones. It really bothered me. It created a bit of a weariness, if you will, and also created just a feeling of being sad, you know, utter sadness because of what I've read in this article. And it only confirms what we have been seeing throughout the culture. Obviously, there's been this move, there's been this shift, a seismic shift towards more and more people accepting things which are relativistic, which are out in left field. You hear people more and more adopting things which are anti-biblical and contrary to what God establishes in his word, and more than ever before. And they are simply taking things at face value without analyzing what it is that they're listening to, what they're being taught, what they're being indoctrinated with, instead of first and foremost examining everything and then retaining that which is good, which is what the Bible tells us to do. Instead, they are simply taking things via the emotionalistic arguments that are made. Even the president of the United States, he does this. Obama does this. I was looking at the speech that he gave the other day at the DNC, and he was saying, for example, something that it's interesting that he contradicts himself. He's a hypocrite because he says, well, Republicans don't give any ideas. And in the rest of his speech was a repetition of 2008 speeches, which was filled with all of these euphoric inflections in his voice and in what he was saying, and it was void of any ideas. It was an empty speech. And then you have the pundits saying, oh, it was a great speech. It was uplifting. It was uplifting. And I said, yeah, but it doesn't give any ideas. And this is pretty much a microcosm of where we are in society today. We've got people listening to things which are lacking in substance, in true substance, and they're taking things via the emotionalistic argument. Oh, yeah, that feels good, so it has to be true. If not, we wouldn't have the likes of Joel Osteen and Rick Warren having their churches filled. I mean, every single Sunday to come and listen to them because it's just pure garbage heap, but they are feeding upon the masses. But anyways, back to the report. This was put out by Lifeway Publishers, and it says here in this report, which you can find on their website, and I'm quoting from the actual report, while the majority of churchgoers desire to honor Christ with their lives and even profess to think on biblical truths, a recent study found few actually engage in personal reading and study of the scriptures. Now, the survey found that 90% of churchgoers agree, and this is what they are quoting, I desire to please and honor Jesus in all I do, end quote. And 59% agree with this statement, quote, throughout the day I find myself thinking about biblical truths, end quote. It continues, while the majority agree with both statements, there is a significant degree in the strength of agreement. Nearly two-thirds of churchgoers, 64%, strongly agree with the first statement, but only 20% strongly agree with the second, which goes to show us that there is a great amount of hypocrisy going on within the church. What do I mean? Well, here's the kicker. However, when asked how often they personally, and this is within parentheses, not as part of a church worship service. I'm glad that the ones who were taking this survey actually, you know, asked the question and framed it in this manner, because a lot of Christians would want to get away as saying, yeah, I read the Bible every week, but in reality, it's going to the scripture where their pastor is telling them, open your Bibles to, you know, read the Bible, and it continues. However, when asked about how often they personally read the Bible, a similar number respond every day, 19%. Only 19%. As respond, rarely, never, 18%. This is nasty. A quarter indicate they read the Bible a few times a week. Oh, I guess that's an improvement over never, right? But anyways, 14% say they read the Bible once a week. And another 22% they say they read once a month or a few times a month. So whatever happened to, I desire to please and honor Jesus in all that I do? Look, this showcases a greater reality here, people, and it is this. You've got people who talk the talk but don't walk the walk. You've got people who are saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus and I love Jesus. And then with their actions, they're not showcasing that. So their walk is a total contradiction to what they're saying. This is why I say continually we should not take what people tell us at face value. People can tell you anything. I mean, they're like politicians. Politicians can tell you, I care for my fellow man. I care for the United States. I care for policy. I care for other people, for the needy, for the destitute. I care for the middle class. I care for everyone. I care so much that Jesus called me the other day. As a matter of fact, Mother Teresa of Calcutta reached out from the grave and sent me an email personally telling me what a great person I am. She did that. Yes, she did. She did that. And then we find that in their tenure in Congress or wherever they are performing public service, if that, we find that they're having an affair, that they've cheated on their taxes, that they are people who want money under the table, as it is said commonly. They take money from lobbyists. And we ask ourselves, why is it that we have arrived at this point? You know why? Because we're not holding people's feet to the fire. People keep telling us, this is what I want, this is who I am. And then when we see that their walk, their actions, are a total contradiction to what they're speaking, instead of holding their feet to the fire and saying, hey, you're a hypocrite. Oh, we don't want to call people that because that's an offensive term. It's a derogatory term and we don't want to use that here. It's such a bad terminology. It's so stigmatic. It's got such a bad inflection on it. It is what they are. They are what they are. They're hypocrites. No wonder the church is in the phase it's in. No wonder so many Christians are duped. I mean, come on. They're duped because they don't read the Bible. What can you expect? This is why the emerging churches were filled and are still filled to the pews because, yeah, you know, Jesus, it's true. He might be a way, but not the way. Yeah, that's true. And then we've got people saying, yeah, my best life now. Absolutely. Jesus wants me to have my best life now. And then when persecution arises, they're like, hey, where did this come out of? This came out of left field. Didn't Jesus tell us that if we desire to follow him, that we were going to face in the world tribulations, persecutions? But he says, fear not, because I have defeated the world. I have conquered. So what's this thing about? Why does it catch people off guard? Because they don't read their Bibles. Paul tells Timothy, tells us very clearly, he who wants to serve Jesus will face persecution. But Christians don't read their Bibles. So when persecution comes, you get what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13. That, yeah, the word was implanted, the gospel was implanted, the word of the kingdom was implanted in their hearts. But what happens? Tribulation came, the worries of the world came and choked the word. They were not able to grow. That growth was stumped. We can't expect anything if we're not going to sit here and read the manual that God has given us so that we can live according to how he wants us to live. This is why we've got so many Christians arguing away that homosexuality is actually not a bad thing, that you could be a Christian and practice homosexuality at the same time. Yet when I read my Bible, the Bible tells me that he who practices sin, there are very serious consequences for he that practices sin. And then it tells me that the Christian does not practice, keyword, practice sin. I mean, if I'm a Christian and I want to please God like these people who were surveyed said they do, if I want to please and honor Jesus in all that I do, then why would I willingly want to sin? That's against, it's totally against the godly nature. It's totally against new birth. But yet, I find it interesting also that when the study says nearly two-thirds of churchgoers, 64%, strongly agree with the first statement, it should be 100%. If not, what are you doing in church? What are you doing reading the Bible? What are you doing listening to the message? Why do you even call yourself a Christian? Why? And then we've got this attitude that is rampant throughout the church where they're ashamed. People are ashamed to call themselves Christians. I mean, and we see it throughout the culture. I was commenting the other day about Toby Mac. Read an article recently. It said that Toby Mac's album, his latest album, if I'm not mistaken, it's called Eye on It, reached number one in the Billboard charts. We're talking about secular Billboard charts. And everybody's like, oh, why is it taking so long? And finally, a Christian artist, he reaches number one. And then I say, you know, Jesus has taken a backseat to celebrities. Because, to Christian celebrities, rather. Because when I hear these people talk, there's no mention of Jesus in their presentation. Yeah, when they're among the churches and probably among, you know, they're doing a concert and they're with their own, if you will, they'll mention Jesus. But outside the four walls, outside the concert halls, and many times even in the concert halls, they don't define themselves. They're like masked agents there. They're secret agent men. I mean, what kind of Christianity is this? Well, this is very evident. This study is telling us that this kind of Christianity is brought upon us because people do not dare read the Bible. And yet they also say that, oh, I desire to please and honor God and honor Jesus and all that I do. And then we find that only 59% agree with the statement. Throughout the day, I find myself thinking about biblical truths. Huh. Maybe that's why society is in such a chaotic state. This is why society is so putrefactic as it is now, because we're pretty much not thinking about those biblical truths and how to live our lives according to those biblical truths. Maybe it's time for us to start thinking about those biblical truths a little bit more and spend more time in the Bible. Here's a little piece of advice for all of you youngins that like listening to this podcast. Turn off the TV. Log off Facebook. Log off Twitter. Turn off the computer. Throw away your cell phone. Some people might say, well, that's a bit extreme there, Gio. Yeah, I'm just playful banter here. But anyways, turn off the cell phone and spend time reading. Read your Bible. Read it. You know, like the Scots guy in the Scots commercial, feed it, feed it, read it, read it, read the Bible, read it. And the more and more you do this, you will notice that there will be these incremental changes in your life where you're going to crave truth. And nothing will satisfy that craving. Nothing will satisfy that desire. And someone might say, wow, but that produces a bit of emptiness. No, because truth gives life. And the reason that you constantly crave truth is because you want more and more life. That's why it's an insatiable craving. And it's a great one to have, because you just want to know more and more truth. This is opposite to the desires of the world, which give you such temporary pleasures, where you're constantly looking for them, and yet they do not fulfill. And this is the difference between truth, the craving of truth, and the craving of worldly, secular things. The worldly leaves you constantly in a garbage heap of emptiness, in solitude, in loneliness. Whereas truth, when you constantly adopt it, and you're constantly looking for it, and you constantly crave it, continues to give you life, and it gives you joy and peace that is everlasting. And Jesus says, not like the world gives it, but I give it, and you will have peace that is eternal. That's the difference. Read your Bible on a daily basis. Open that book up, and even if it's just a verse, one verse, don't make it a religious exercise. One verse that you read, and you meditate on this day and night, trust me, God will teach you a lesson and you will have peace that surpasses all understanding. That's all the time I have left for this edition of the podcast. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, for putting up with my rants and raves, if you will. But, you know, I bring these things forward because I want you to understand that a relationship with Jesus is like nothing else. If you know truth, if you know what truth does for you, that it sets you in freedom, it gives you freedom, trust me, you're always going to want to go back to that fountain. It's amazing. Just like Jesus says, if you drink from this water that I have to give, he says to the Samaritan woman, you will never ever thirst again. And that's just the truth of it, isn't it? That's all the time I have left. If you have any questions, please email us, info@lwim.org, info@lwim.org. Check us out on our website, our glorious website, lwim.org, lwim.org. If you're in the vicinity, Miami vicinity, please visit us every Friday night. We have our meetings, 3175 Southwest 25th Street, 3175 Southwest 25th Street at 8 p.m. Also, check out our Twitter feed. We are twitter.com/@LWIM and my own personal Twitter feed, twitter.com/@GiovanniDC. How do you spell that, Gio? JIOVANNEDC. And if you need to listen to that again, just rewind this portion. And last but not least, you can also check out my personal blog, Uncompromised Truth, which is found at lwim.org/truth. That's all the time I have left. Once again, this is the Capitan saying goodbye. May the Lord shine his face upon you.